The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today is Election Day 2024. It's already been a whirlwind race, and it looks like it'll be a tight one between Democrat candidate Kamala Harris and GOP candidate former President Donald Trump. To help us sort through what we've seen so far this election season, what we can expect today as the votes come in, and to preview what we might be facing after the polls are closed, we're joined by KCBS Radio political reporter Doug Sovern. This election, for me, seems like the most roller coaster-y election I've experienced. There's been just a lot of changes. It seems like a lot of news. It's kind of hard to wrap my head around it. Do you feel that way as well? You're more experienced with elections than I am.
Absolutely. Yeah, this has been a crazy election in so many ways without precedent. I mean, we had the Democratic nominee changed 100 days ago, which is very strange. We had two assassination attempts on one of the candidates, which is highly unusual. I mean, everything's been topsy-turvy, a lot of swings back and forth. And here we are with really what shapes up right now to be one of the closest elections ever. Now, we don't know how accurate the polls are. And I keep hearing people saying, well, but the polls could be off and then someone could win easily. I don't see that happening. I don't see anybody winning easily. This reminds me very much of 2000 when Al Gore, you know, won the popular vote by 0.5%, remember, and Bush won by 4 electoral votes. I mean, that's the closest election we've had in our lifetimes. Or 2016, where Hillary Clinton narrowly won by about 2%, but Trump won the electoral vote. This feels like that kind of election to me. And so I have no reason to think it's going to be anything but that. And yeah, it's been very hard to wrap my head around. I do an annual or a quadrennial every 4 years prediction, and you know, most of the time I'm right, but this one is really tough and very hard to get, and it's just been hard to wrap your head around all the different data points. We're in this cycle where we have a former president who's a candidate, but that's also an unusual thing. That's only happened, you know, in the 1880s at this level, but also one who is a convicted felon, an admitted sex offender, a, you know, proven pathological liar, a guy with as bad a track record as a human being as anyone who's ever run for president. I mean, that's not opinion or bias. That's just fact. And that we have all of that and all the things he continues to say and do, these outrageous things that don't seem to have a lot of impact. I mean, that if anyone else said or did the things that Donald Trump does, they would just be disqualified. Yeah, I mean, they would just not even be considered by most voters. And yet here it is, he may win. I mean, we're in a 50-50 race. That's all already built into his reputation. His voters discount it. It doesn't seem to be swaying a lot of undecided, if there are any voters, but we'll see. I mean, I'm saying that it could be that in a couple of days, Kamala Harris wins by 4 or 5% and wins the Electoral College. And we say, oh, see, the various things he said at the end, or the fact that he's a felon, et cetera, that did weigh, twice impeached, that did weigh on voters. And I mean, we may say that in a couple of days. Right now, though, it looks like most of that doesn't seem to matter much. And that's a pretty extraordinary thing.
What do you think the voters have really cared about with all of this news, with all of these changes? What do you think are the real things that have stuck with people? It doesn't seem to be the legal challenges Trump faces. It doesn't seem to even be the assassination attempts, which kind of faded away in the news cycle, I feel like a little bit. But what do you think people have been latching on to and care about the most?
Well, I think on the Kamala Harris side, on the Democrat side, what they care about most and what they've latched onto is they don't want Trump. They're afraid of him. They don't think the country can stand another 4 years of him, and they absolutely do not want him. There is a very significant number who care very much about the abortion issue, and women in particular, but men who care about it are motivated by that issue. Kamala Harris really energized a lot of people when she got the nomination. So there are Black voters and South Asian voters and women voters and young voters who are happy to see somebody new, somebody who looks like them. I think there's the identity politics piece. I think that, the salient issues for most people on that side are abortion and not being Trump. I mean, those are, to me, the biggest ones. There are others, of course. I mean, everybody cares about the economy and everything else. On the Republican side and the Trump side, it really does seem to be economic more than anything else. There's the border security issue. There's crime. There's a lot of demonizing of the other, and people respond to that. But I really think, I mean, just in talking to voters and processing everything I digest, that there are just a lot of people in this country who feel like the system is broken. It doesn't work for them. They're looking for someone to blame. Trump gives them people to blame. And economically, while macroeconomically, the economy is doing really well by many, many measures, there are many people for whom, eggs cost more, bacon costs more, bread costs more, milk costs more as of a couple of years ago, and it hasn't gone back down. And maybe they don't understand. Food prices do not typically go back down. Gas comes up and down, but, inflation is inflation. You don't want deflation. So there are a lot of people who just have this general sense of things aren't great. I feel like things are worse. It must be the fault of the people in office. So I'm going to vote for Trump. Forgetting that things were not so great when he was president either, so much so that he was incredibly unpopular and they threw him out and replaced him with Biden. So, people have short memories. Things always look better in hindsight. But do you think that it's the economic issue more than anything else that is motivating the people who are voting for Trump? And it's not wanting Trump and abortion and worrying about democracy and their rights that's motivating the people who are voting for Kamala Harris?
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's really hard to predict this election. Mm-hmm. I've been keeping up with, all the different polling aggregates and all the prediction markets, and it goes up and down, and they're all kind of saying different stuff. So tell me a little bit about how you're dealing with that and what the picture looks like today, which I should remind people that we're talking Monday afternoon Eastern time right now.
Well, the picture today shows a dead heat. I mean, whether you're looking at the national polling or the swing state polling in the seven states that are going to decide this election, either Trump or Harris is up by 1% or 2% if you average everything out, or they're tied. I mean, that's insane. We've never had anything like that before. I will say, looking at these averages, I've never been a big fan of polling averages, whether it's Real Clear Politics or 538 or Nate Silver or whoever, because, and I've written about this before in my blog in the past, and I probably will mention it in my final post tonight, but they are inherently flawed to me because you're combining a lot of different kinds of polls. They use different methodology, and the way you weight things to make up for that can have a huge impact. And if you look at it, I mean, they're never right. And a lot of people sort of take them as gospel and assume, people forget about margin of error. But even just looking at the averages, I mean, I'll just tell you, last time the Real Clear Politics average was off by 3%. So, you know, it said it was, this is where things stand. No, it was 3% different. So that's pretty significant. The 538 average was off by 4%. If you go back to 2016, they were closer. They were in the 1 to 1.5% range. That was pretty good. 2012, they were off by 3%. I mean, so you can't look at them and go, oh, look, it's a tie, therefore it'll be a tie. No, it could be 3 or 4% either way. And they tend to be 2, 3, 4% either way. So the fact that one person could win all seven swing states by 2 or 3 or 4% and win the national popular vote by about that much too, or they could split. I actually think this year is more of a split. I do not think they are. I mean, there are a lot of people who think, well, they're undercounting Trump voters again, so he actually is going to win all the swing states. He could even win the popular vote. No. They're undercounting women and people are coming up for Kamala. She's going to win all the swing states and therefore the popular vote. Right now, I would put my money on Kamala Harris winning the popular vote, but at sort of a Hillary Clinton level, like a 2 to 3% range, not a Barack Obama level, which was, I'll just check real quick, it was 4 points 1 year and 7 the next. Biden won by 4.5. I don't think she's going to get to that Biden level popular vote. And if you only win the popular vote by 2 or 3 points, the Electoral College tends to be tighter. And there is a chance that we'll see what we saw in 2016, where she wins by 2% and Trump wins the Electoral College. And it's really going to come down to Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia. I mean, these states, which is why Trump is campaigning 4 times in North Carolina in the closing day. Kamala Harris is focusing entirely on Pennsylvania today. They know where they have to win in the states that they can't afford to lose. So yeah, I really think it's very, very close. And in looking at the polling, what that tells me is to have all the polls, so many of them, be this close is really unusual. You tend to have more outliers. There are hardly any outliers. So that tells me, yeah, it really is this close.
I don't know if you were keeping up on this. There's a poll out of Iowa.
Sure, yeah.
That showed Harris with kind of a considerable surprise lead there.
Right.
Yeah. What do you make of that in the grand scheme of things? I know that's been getting a lot of attention. Does it mean a lot or does it not mean that much?
Well, it does in one way, and that's this. Ann Selzer, who runs the Iowa poll and has done it for decades, is really good. I mean, she's one of the most reliable pollsters in the country, and it's her state. She knows it really, really well. And she has, you know, she's never off by much. I mean, you can go back and look, she's rarely off by much. I mean, she'll have someone winning by 7, they win by 9. She has somebody winning by 5, they win by 6. And Iowa's a red state. It's not deeply red, but it's red enough. You know, the Republicans carry it typically 8 to 10 points, Trump has. And he's been up by that much. And out of the blue, or out of the red in this case, her final Iowa poll has Kamala Harris winning by 3%. Which was a stunner because, I mean, there's just no universe in which anybody thought that was coming. And she has defended her poll from a lot of criticism because on the same day, a couple other polls came out, an Emerson College poll, they do good polling, and another one, I'm forgetting whose it was, but which both showed Trump winning comfortably, you know, 8 to 10 points. So there's the question of, is hers an outlier this time? And it's possible that she's way off. It seems really unlikely, though, because she's just, that's not the kind of pollster she is. She's never been an outlier. She's never way off. So that doesn't mean the fact that she's got Kamala Harris winning by 3 points doesn't necessarily mean Kamala Harris is going to win the state. And the fact that someone else has Trump winning by 8, if Trump wins it by 2 or 3 or 4, then they were both kind of close and not that, you know, they were about just as far off. What it does tell you, though, is that there's something happening out there. And I always look for trends because movement and trends, which has been incremental in this election, but it does tell you that something's happening. And in that case, particularly senior women, old women and older women were the difference maker in that Iowa poll, that there's a lot of late movement among them for Kamala Harris in Iowa. And if it's happening in Iowa, it's probably happening in Wisconsin and in Michigan and in Minnesota and in other states that look something like Iowa. So that is what I took away from that poll, that is a significant data point. I don't necessarily think Kamala Harris is going to win Iowa. I don't think she is going to win Iowa. I think Trump will win Iowa. But it might be closer than we think. Texas is another one that might be closer than we think. There are a few states, Florida, which used to be a swing state, really has gotten very red. They might be closer than we think if there is this late movement for Kamala Harris among Latinos, among women, among older voters. That bodes well for her to tighten those states, not win them. But that also means she's more likely to win the ones that are toss-ups, which are, you know, the 7 that we know of. So I took that as one more data point that shows a little momentum for Harris. On the other hand, there are trends towards Trump in some of these. The national polling has tightened to the point where that's trending towards him. When she was up a couple points, now it's tied. So it's really hard to tell because the popular national vote is trending towards him. Some of these swing states are trending a little bit more towards her. We'll have a better sense, at least, once we see exit polling data tomorrow afternoon and once we get those first states in, we'll have a better sense. I mean, 2016, when we thought Hillary Clinton was going to win, it was really clear immediately when results were coming in from a few states I was watching that, uh-oh, this is not going the way we all thought it was. He's going to win. So we'll have a sense of that. But within a couple of days, hopefully we will no longer be dizzy.
If Trump wins, what do you think that will look like in January? What kind of presidency do you think that that's going to be like?
Well, I will say if Trump wins, we'll have a much calmer next 2 months because there'll be a lot of depressed Democrats. People will be walking around in resignation. But I don't think we're going to see riots. I mean, there'll be protests, but we won't see riots. We won't see court challenges. It'll be relatively calm. There'll be shock. If Harris wins, there will be many court challenges from the Trump team. There will be many protests organized by the Trump team. There may be another January 6th type situation. I have no doubt there'll be all sorts of tumult and upheaval. And what, is the Electoral College going to stick to their guns or be faithless? And you know, it could be somewhat chaotic. And if he does win and become president, we'll see how much. A lot will depend on whether he has the Senate and the House or whether he just has the Senate and not the House, what he's able to push through. If he really does all the things he says he's going to do, prepare for a lot of upheaval in this country. And we're going to have a lot of economic impact where I think the economy will be in the tank for a while. The markets may crash. I mean, if he really does all the things he says he's going to do, it's going to be, you know, fasten your seatbelts. Now, he may not be able to actually legislate all of it, but we'll see.
Oh, I know the presidential election is the splashy one, but we should also pay attention to Congress. And the last time I looked, it seemed to be sort of trending where people thought that the Republicans might sweep Congress and that would make things difficult for Harris if she wins. What is it looking like right now?
Well, I think the Republicans are almost certainly going to take the Senate. It's going to be, I think the Democrats are going to hold a couple of the seats that people are writing them off in. But I think John Tester is toast in Montana. I think that she's going to win that seat for the Republicans. I think Sherrod Brown might hold on in Ohio. I think that, Nevada, Pennsylvania, I think Wisconsin, I think those are states that are very close. I think the Democrats, Arizona, are going to hold those states. But I do think that the Republicans will take the Senate by, you know, they'll have a one or two seat margin. The House, it's a toss up. Yeah, it really could go either way. I know there's been a lot of movement towards the Republicans. I think the key seats in California, the Democrats are likely to take a couple of those, which might actually end up giving them the House. So we have, you know, a half a dozen, six or seven here that are in the balance, and it could go either way. But of course, that will be influenced somewhat by who wins the presidency, in that if there is this big surge, and you know, I haven't put together my final prediction yet, but I think there is. And one more thing about the polling. Remember, they undercounted Trump voters in 2016 and again in 2020. They missed by a lot. They tried to correct their modeling and weighting. They undercounted Democrats in 2022 and 23 by 3-4 points. So which is happening now? Now, have they got it exactly right? No, they're never going to be exactly right. Did they overcorrect the other way and now they're back to favoring Trump subconsciously? We don't know. But one difference between the underweighting of Democrats in the midterm elections is Trump wasn't on the ballot, and he brings out a lot of people who probably don't vote in those elections. So that's a tough call. But my point is that if there is a big surge of women voters, as we saw with the abortion measures, as we saw in special elections, who aren't being captured by the polls, if the low propensity Democratic voters really come out, then she's going to win. And I actually think that's what's going to happen, at least in the popular vote. If that does happen, that's going to boost the Democrats down ballot. Now, there will be some split ticket voting. Certainly in Arizona, it looks like there are people who are voting for Ruben Gallego for the Democrat for Senate, but they're voting for Trump for president. But at the House level, that tends to happen less. So if that surge is there for Harris, I think the Democrats win the House. So then you'll have a split Congress, probably. If that surge is not there for Harris, and in fact, it's the Trump bro vote, the white men, the uneducated white men who come out in force, and he wins, then there may be a Republican sweep, because that's going to help them in those House races and in those Senate races. Then he may control all of government. And that's, you know, a scary prospect for those who don't want him to win. So it really depends to me on what the turnout's going to be.
Seems like we'll probably have a good idea on election night, but it might take a few days.
Last time, I mean, 2016, we knew fairly early, oh, this is not going her way. He's going to win. 2020, if you remember, most people went to bed thinking that Trump had won, or fearing that he'd won, or thinking he was likely going to win. I went to bed sure that Biden had won, only because when you looked at the numbers of how many ballots were outstanding in each state, and we knew they were breaking for the Democrats in the late voters, it looked to me like Biden was going to get over the top in all those, and he did. But that we didn't know, that wasn't confirmed until like Thursday or Friday. So I expect something like that. If it's an unexpected turnout for Trump, we'll probably know on that night. If it's close and she's going to win, we might not know for a couple of days. If she has this huge unexpected turnout and, you know, in the early going, she does win Iowa or it's very close, she takes North Carolina away, then we're going to know she's going to win. We might know that night. I do think it's probably going to take, given how long a couple of these states take to count votes, Wednesday, Thursday, before we know for sure. I'll give you a sneak preview. I am going to say that Kamala Harris is going to win.
Okay.
But it's going to be really close. I do not think there's a surge that puts her over 300 electoral votes. I think she's going to win the popular vote by something like 2.5%, and she's going to win Wisconsin and Michigan, and I'm still working out Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia, at least one of those. So I think she ekes it out. I don't think it's a landslide either way, but again, I could be wrong. It could be him.
We'd like to give a special thanks to our guest, KCBS political reporter Doug Sovereign. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to thank you for listening to this special Election Day edition of On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of top news just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.